the scripture that I will be speaking from this morning is in the second chapter of 1 Corinthians, starting with verse 18. This doctrine of the cross is sheer folly to those on the way to ruin, but to us who are on the way to salvation, it is the power of God. Scripture says, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the cleverness of the clever. Where is your wise man now, your man of learning or your subtle debater? Limited all of them to this passing age. God has made the wisdom of this world look foolish. As God in his wisdom ordained, the world failed to find him by its wisdom. And he chose to save those who have faith by the folly of the gospel. Jews call for miracles. Greeks look for wisdom. But we proclaim Christ. Yes, Christ nailed to the cross. And though this is a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Greeks, yet to those who have heard his call, Jews and Greeks alike, he is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Divine folly is wiser than the wisdom of man, and divine weakness stronger than man's strength. My brothers, think what sort of people you are whom God has called. Few of you are men of wisdom by any human standard. Few are powerful or high-born. Yet to shame the wise, God has chosen what the world counts folly. And to shame what is strong, God has chosen what the world counts weakness. He has chosen things low and contemptible, mere nothings, to overthrow the existing order. And so there is no place for human pride in the presence of God, you in Christ Jesus by God's act. For God has made him our wisdom, he is our righteousness. In him we are consecrated and set free. And so in the words of Scripture, if a man must boast, let him boast of the Lord. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. One thing I would like to say before I start, when I was a boy, I guess 5-6 years old, I attended the Baptist church. And the minister there was, at times, an extremely long-winded man. I mean, he could go on for an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours. Well, I was a young boy, you know, but I learned something, you know. I would come in, and sometimes I would see on the pulpit, there'd be this pitcher of ice water. Sometimes it was not there. Well, being an astute young man, I figured out that when I saw the ice water, it was going to be an hour and a half. If the ice water was not there, well, it was going to be regular. So when I came into the sanctuary, that was the first thing I looked for, to see if that ice water was there. And if it was, of course, my heart would sink. Because I always got into trouble because I could not make it an hour and a half without getting into trouble. But don't worry, there's no way that I'll keep you that long. So, but this scripture it means a lot to me in my life. You know, if God deals with us, he deals with us corporately as his congregation, but he also deals with us individually. And as Paul was speaking to the church at Corinth, which I think was probably not much different than we are, you know, he said, well, I need you to do this. I need you to speak this or do this. Oh, well, I can't do that, you see. And this was Paul's answer. You see, that no matter who we are, if God calls us to do a task and he sends me to do a task, it's not going to fail. All I really have to do is show up. And if I show up, you see, God will do his part. And I found that to be true in my life. But see, I don't know what God has for each of you. See, I don't know what God speaks to Greg, or to Phil, or to Don, or to Patsy, or anyone else. You see, that's between them and God. I can assume, I can think, but I don't know that. I know what God speaks to me. And He deals with us each as individuals. And we're each as individuals responsible for this that God has asked us to do or requires or wants us to do. And, you know, it's easy to think of ways not to do it. You say, you know, I can't do that. Well, personally, and then in my own being, maybe I can't. But God can do it. God uses us to speak to each other. And as God speaks to us, you know, sometimes I don't know how God speaks to you. He speaks to me, but of course, it could be, you know, I'm a little hard-headed. So sometimes He has to speak rather sternly as to what I have to do and what I should do. Now, I tried, you know, in my intellect to understand God. I couldn't do it. You see, there's no way that a finite being, such as we are, limited, can fully understand an infinite being, which is God, an unlimited being. There's no way the limited can understand the unlimited. We can to a point. So the knowledge that we have of God is what He imparts to us through the Holy Spirit. That's the knowledge we have of God. You know, I could sit there and read words, but they can become gibberish because I don't know what they're talking about. You know, in the other scripture that Don read there, you know, and Jesus was talking to the disciples. Jesus said, "You've seen me, you've seen the Father." The first question they asked said, "Well, show us the Father, and we'll be all right." We kind of like that. You know, I don't know how many of you, any of you ever had a farm background or ever had any dealings with a mule. Well, I always thought that everybody should have to do that one day in their life. Just one day. Because, you know, a mule is always, we hear people talk, you know, well, he's so dumb and stupid, but he's probably the smartest animal I've ever had any dealings with. You know, both of them that I dealt with, I think, were smarter than I was. But they have their own mind, and they're set in their way. And as one man said, that you have to have a two before you hit him and then speak to him. Well, unfortunately, sometimes I think we're the same way. You see, when God talks to us, that we're stubborn. And that's not all bad. Because, you know, as we sit and we look and we hear, how many things come at us? Information or supposed information. How much is true? How much is false? You see, how much is the Word of God? How much is the Word of men? And we have to make a distinction here. You see, when we hear some people say, well, this is so-and-so. This is the way it should be. Is this what God says or is this what man says? I am a man. There's not a lot I can tell you personally about your life. You see, because I have troubles enough of my own because of my own doing. You see, I'll tell you, in my life, in dealing with God, this one time, it was about 20 years ago, that I thought I was a pretty good guy, pretty good fellow, pretty religious man. God said, "Don't think so." I said, "What? You know, I do this, I do this, I do this." He said, "I'm going to show you some other things you did." Well, I'll tell you, this took about 2 solid nights. Now you think about this. You see, it's all recorded up here. Well, I want to remember tonight. It's all recorded there. And everything that I had ever done to anybody was brought to my attention. Now, it was done that for a purpose, not to castigate me, but me to be forgiven. You see, I was forgiven of that. But in order for me to be forgiven, I had to do some forgiving myself. Because you know, as we, every Sunday, we repeat the Lord's Prayer. And what does it say? It says, forgive our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And what that says to me, if I don't forgive, then there's no forgiveness for me. And you know, that's a hard thing to do. Forgive. When someone has wronged you, or we think that we've been wrong, that we've been hurt, it's extremely hard to forgive. But that's a requirement. Not because I said it, that's what God said. You know, it's in my limited being and knowledge and wisdom, there's not a lot I can tell you. But when I was going through this particular time, some of these things, you know, did not seem too important to me. But one thing really did, and I've never forgotten it. I still think about it. But as a young man, I think I was probably 19 years old. I was in Germany in the military. And any kind, anything you could think of was there. You could do anything you wanted to. Nobody looking over your shoulder. But I almost killed a man. I almost beat a man to death. And it was over a 25-cent bottle of beer. You know, and that's so tragic. But I did that, you see. And another human being. But, you know, I can't set myself up to be a judge of other people. I can't do that. I'm not worthy to do that. But you see, God, through the blood of Jesus, as we've been talking about this whole season, the crucifixion, the blood, shed blood of Jesus covered that. You see, when God looks at me now, he doesn't see that. But it's so easy to do these things because I wanted to have my way. This man didn't agree with me. I didn't agree with him, so I'll kill you, you know? How often do we see that today? See it every day. And I say, gosh, you know, these guys are bad. I did the same thing. I was fortunate the grace of God saved me. Because in the military, you know, they put you in prison for killing, just as they do on the outside. But, you see, God forgave me. He forgave me of all of these things. And I have to ask every day for forgiveness. Because, you know, you go to work in the morning, in the traffic. I cut you off. Do you love it? Do you love that person when they do that? No, we don't. But you see, God loves us. God knows us better than we know ourselves. And when God came as man, he manifested himself as a human. And he stood for all the sins that had ever been committed or ever would be committed, no matter how heinous, vile, or violent. See, that's what that was. He bore it all, everything, for me, you, everybody that ever lived or ever will live, if we accept it. And acceptance is strictly up to us. But when Christ died on that cross, then he was buried. Then he was resurrected. Then he ascended into heaven. You see, that's the hope of all Christian people. You know, I know, I mean, it's not something that I look forward to. I don't think probably anybody else does. You see, one day this physical body will die. It's going to happen, whether I like it or not. But the being within me will not die. You see, that's the promise that God has given me. And as Paul said, you know, to the world, his teaching of the cross is folly. It's stupid. But you know, I was talking with a man about a month ago who was an archaeologist. And there were several of us. And the talk got around to religion or Christianity. And this man, he said, well, he asked me, he said, can you explain God to me? I said, no. He said, well, you know, how do you expect me to believe this? And so, and I knew that this was an extremely brilliant, educated man. And I said, well, I'll ask you this. I said, do you think it's possible for a limited being to understand and explain an unlimited being? He said, no, they can't do that. I said, okay, you answered your question. And I could see the light bulb go on in his head. You see, that it can't be done intellectually. You see, God has to touch each of us. He touches. He calls. He offers. That's what we have. That's the way that God communicates with us. The Holy Spirit deals with us. And you know, when he deals with even in our intellect, we know that God is real. You know, I'm 62 years old, as I've come to a few conclusions, you know. But one, there's two forces in the world. Is good and evil. There's no middle ground. You're either for or you're against. And, you know, that sounds maybe harsh, but that's true. See, we can't ride the fence, you know, and say, well, I'll see how this, you know, it's like if you go to a ball game and two teams are playing. You watch it to see who's winning. That's who you cheer for. You see, it doesn't work that way. We have to make up our mind before the game starts. And we have to stay with it. You see that when I came to understand that Jesus was God manifest in the flesh, that was an awesome thing to me. You know, when I think about God, the creator of the universe, and you think about this, that who with a thought or a word can create or destroy a universe? Now, that's awesome power. But yet, to come and shed his blood for me, that's even more awesome. You see, it gets beyond my limited comprehension. And I know that God loves me, but the love that is such as that hard for me to grasp. It's really hard to understand how God would do that. But the thing that I want to leave you with today is that for each and every one of us, it's there. I don't know how God will deal with each person. I don't know that He will run your whole life before you to show you the good, the bad, and the ugly. I don't know that He'll do that. He did that to me. Maybe that's what it took for me. But each of us are different. But we listen for that voice. It's always there. And to feel the hand of God on your shoulder. He says, "My son and my daughter, I love you. I move heaven and earth for you." And you know, that's such a great promise. Such a great promise. But there's a couple of scriptures that you would read when you go home. It's about promises that God has given us. Matthew, the 18th chapter, verses 18 through 20. Matthew 21, verses 18 through 21. The first one is where Jesus tells us that if two of us ask anything of the Father, and we're in accordance with one another, that He'll do it. See, where two or three are gathered together, I'm there also. And the next one is when Jesus and His disciples came upon the fig tree. There's no figs upon this tree. Jesus, now when I say Jesus cursed the tree, I'm speaking in a different manner, that He condemned it. The tree withered and died. The disciples said, "How is that?" And He said, "Well, it serves no purpose. It does not serve its purpose." But He also said that if we believe, you command any mountain to remove itself and cast itself into the sea. Now, we all have mountains in our life, but we also have the power to move them. That's granted by God. You see, this blood covenant that God made with man through the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Now, you that have children, would you make a covenant with your children for them to be sick, to be harmed, to be unhappy? I don't think so. You think God would make that covenant with us? I don't think so. You see, what God has done is there. It's what we do or do not do is why we can't overcome the things that we think we should. The power is there. Now, I'm not just speaking to you. I'm speaking to myself, too. You know, this is from experience. And I know that this happens to me. And I know it happens to others. But what I would like you to remember is we read that and we understand it, and it's there. The promise is given to us. Each of us. And God will stand behind His promise. You see, there's one thing in this universe that God cannot do. And that's lie. He cannot lie. So what He says, He will do. And I would like to leave you with that. Lord our Father, we ask that You pass Your blessing your understanding, and your love through us as we go through this coming week. And we ask that you be with us, guide us, and direct us. In Jesus' name, amen.